Bob Will Never Hurt You by 1001 Crane or Ocellus. Read by S.K. Lee. Bob gets turned into a vampire while touring with the Used. He'd like to say weirder things have happened, but that pretty much takes the cake. Being a vampire is okay. It's not as bad as some movies make it seem, but it's not that great either. Bob's a little stronger, maybe a little faster, but it's not worth trading your humanity for a pair of fangs and a thirst for blood. Seriously. The blood sucking is unfortunate, but necessary. Bob doesn't need much, maybe a pint a week, but it's irritating enough to be a problem. Brian's on top of things. Brian's always on top of things, thank God, because touring would be unbearable if Brian didn't know. If he didn't have it set up so someone dropped by with blood every few days. After all, it's not like Bob can store it anywhere on the bus. Gerard would probably mistake it for his makeup, and hilarity of that aside, Bob can't plausibly explain why he's keeping blood in the mini-fridge. Pete Wentz might be able to get away with that shit, but not Bob. On one of their Canadian dates, the delivery doesn't come. And not only is it bad fucking business, it's bad fucking timing. It's been nearly a week since the last delivery. Any other time Bob could maybe wait it out, but right now, they're on warped. Bob spends too much time in the sun, he doesn't sleep enough, and it's always entirely too fucking hot. Not to mention the physically draining human disaster that is Frank. Bob's exhausted. He's hungry. He goes looking for Brian. He has to accost about half a dozen bands on the way, but eventually someone tips him off to the bonfire near Story of the Year's bus. There's a whole group partying there. It's July, but it's still cold enough at night for the area around the fire to be crowded. It's pretty early and Mike Kim is still loosely grouped together. Ray talking guitars with some guys Bob thinks are from Kiros. Mikey quietly and awkwardly leaning into Pete while Patrick and Brian pretend not to watch too closely. Gerard talking animatedly to Frank and sloshing Red Bull everywhere. When Bob gets closer, Frank launches himself at Bob's side, legs wrapping around the top part of Bob's thighs. Bob stumbles and nearly falls before Frank drops down and frowns at him. "You okay?" "Fine," he says easily. "You putting on weight?" "Fucker!" Frank punches Bob in the arm and hands him a beer. Bob takes a sip and pulls a face. It's not what he wants at all. "Are you sure you're okay?" Frank asks and punches him again. A little gentler this time. Gentler for Frank, anyway. Which is a bonus. Bob doesn't even feel like flipping him off right now. "Want something to eat?" Bob shakes his head, knowing he's probably looking a little pale and queasy around the edges. "Had to ask Brian something." "Brian!" Frank yells like the little fucktard he is. "Brian, Bob's dying!" And even though Frank's laughing as he says it, Brian whips around from where he's chatting with Gerard, suddenly looking as sick as Bob probably feels. "Fuck," he says. "Bob, man, fuck, are you..." Everyone in the band's looking at them now. Usually Brian doesn't freak out like this. Isn't this obvious? Bob figures he must actually look like the undead. "I want a real shower," he deadpans, "and 8 hours of uninterrupted sleep. And Frank to stop using me as his personal jungle gym." There's a very long pause. "Well, good luck with that," Gerard says finally, and Ray lifts his beer. Frank giggles and launches himself at Bob again. "Bob's breakable," Brian says wryly, pulling at Frank until he lets go with a little whine. "And we can't get a new one if you destroy my hero, so why don't you take it easy for a few days?" Brian leans over and murmurs in Bob's ear, one arm splayed casually over Bob's shoulder. "Are you..." "The guy didn't show up," Bob says, and Brian's hand tightens. "Shit. Okay." Brian pulls his phone out of his pocket and starts to drag Bob towards the bus. "Let me see what I can do." No one is looking directly at them, but Bob can tell they are still straining to hear the hushed words. Gerard sends some kind of hand spasm their way as they leave. But Marky raises his eyebrows and Ray half grins. Bob makes it about halfway to the Fallout Boy bus before he has to say something. You realize they probably think we're fucking? Brian says with a small grin, tooling through the contacts on his phone. You're totally improving my reputation, Briar. Bob relaxes. What about my reputation? Henry, Brian says absently, attention already back on his phone. Maybe. Henry, hey, it's Brian. Brian pushes Bob onto the bus and towards his bunk. Listen, I know this is short notice. Brian shoves aside the curtains in front of his bunk and falls in, listening to Brian stomp around the lounge. When Brian comes back in, about half an hour later, Bob is still lying on his back, trying not to feel so queasy. Henry can only get me in touch with a guy in Salt Lake, Brian says, and looks at Bob head on. So if you want me to, I can. Bob doesn't say yes, but he doesn't say no. And he knows his eyes follow the line of Brian's neck when he pulls back. It'll be at least 2 days. Brian continues apologetically, like it's his fault the guy who runs deliveries punked out on them. Knowing Brian, he might wake up tomorrow with a busted knee. Brian kind of impresses Bob like that. Bob doesn't feel like waiting a day. He could, but he has to spend it looking at everyone like they're dinner on legs. Edible legs. Like they're giant Thanksgiving turkeys that got up and started walking around just to taunt him. And that's not going to do much for his reputation. Yeah, he says. Sorry, but yeah. Okay, just give me a minute. Frank still got those health shakes. In one of the cupboards. Brian disappears for a moment before coming back with 2 cans. He sets them down beside the bunk before pulling off his shirt and climbing in next to Bob. They've done this a time or two before. He knows what to do. It's not a bloodbath every time Bob bites in, but that doesn't mean there won't be a little blood. Bob likes the closeness, too. Not sexual. Not like that. But in that Bob can feel the heartbeat a little better. Hear it. Make it easier to know when to stop. Makes him feel safer about this. When he's done, Brian drinks both shakes and still looks a little woozy. Need me to walk you back? Fuck you, Briar. You my boyfriend now? Brian flips him off and makes it to the door without staggering. And Bob figures that if worse comes to worse, Brian will just look as drunk as everyone else. He rolls over and falls asleep, waking just once when Frank and Mikey clatter, gangle, stumble their way into the room. Brian! Frank stage whispers. Brian! Did you heal Bob with the power of your cock? For fuck's sake. Bob growls and reminds himself for the 12th time in as many hours that no, ripping Frank's arms off is not an option. The jury's still out on his legs. He's on his own goddamn bus. No bathing in the afterglow? Bob can hear Mikey snickering somewhere behind him. Bob ignores them and rolls back over. He wakes them up by playing Minor Threat at top volume the next morning, and Bob thinks that's going to be the end of it. It should be the end of it. When did he stop being the band's requisite scary motherfucker? But Brian spends the next day walking around with what looks like the mother of all hickeys, because while vampire bites themselves heal fast, the area around them tends to bruise. Bob's chock full of blood, and he feels it rush to his face any time someone sees Brian and grins. A few days later, they're in Denver, just after Salt Lake, and Bob's so well fed at this point he feels a little gluttonous, and not at all like ripping anyone's throat out. Even when his marching snare disappears for half an hour, after sound check, Frank saunters over to Bob and offers him a cigarette before pulling out one for himself. Bob decides to mentally brace himself. Brian takes good care of you, huh? Bob nods a bit, thinking, not like you mean. We're friends, he settles on finally, and shrugs. It's not like, you know. Oh, Frank says, chewing on his bottom lip. So I don't get to be like best man then, and give a really embarrassing toast? I'd eat your kidneys with relish. Then what would we do at the bachelor party? Set fire to Ray's hair? Frank giggles. I don't think we'd make it to your wedding. Bob finishes his cigarette and flicks the butt at Frank's head. My non-existent wedding to Brian, right? One of the things Bob's ashamed to admit is that he likes to sink his teeth into someone now and again. He doesn't know a vampire who doesn't, but it's pretty ill-advised. It's not like the movies where you can just hypnotize someone and tell them they won't remember a thing. You need someone who knows and isn't going to freak, and besides that, Bob's pretty picky about who he actually feeds from. Anne Rice fans terrify him most, but the people who go to My Kim concerts generally aren't much better. Snacking on fangirls, much like sleeping with them, is a big no-no. Lately, Bob's been thinking about telling the other guys. It's tiring hiding what he is all the time. Between sneaking away to get blood, finding some secluded place to drink it, and looking at the guys like meals on legs when he goes too long between feedings. It's all a little draining, pardon the awful fucking pun. That's partly how Brian found out about him in the early days. Bob was so busy skulking off to dark places to feed, Brian thought he was doing smack or something. Bob kind of owes them, you know? Not in a tit-for-tat way, just they've always been honest with him, honest about all their shit. And it makes Bob feel a little like an asshole for not telling them, because he's sure none of the guys are going to freak out or try to stake him. Pretty sure, anyway, considering Mikey and Gerard's formative years were spent in a basement reading comics, he's not entirely willing to take that bet. So, Bob starts, I think we need to call a band meeting. Everyone goes instantly and eerily silent. Mikey drops his sidekick and blinks at Bob owlishly. Ray and Gerard look at each other and pull what could only be called a Vulcan mind meld, and Frank falls off the side of the couch. The most unusual part of that is Mikey letting go of his death grip on his sidekick. Or maybe the part where he makes actual eye contact. But either way, Bob thinks he should give him a minute to settle down. There's an undercurrent in the room now. Something like the tension everyone feels before going on stage, but without knowing there's going to be a way to get rid of it. It's kind of important, he adds, completely unnecessarily. But what the hell, it is kind of important. Are we going to need a new drummer? Gerard asks hastily, because Brian will be seriously pissed. Bob shakes his head. Brian knows I won't have to leave unless you guys want me to. I've been, not lying, he says decisively. But I never told you either, so Bob really has no idea what to say. Fuck, I'm just going to show you. Ray, can I? Ray just looks completely bewildered. What? Bob sighs. The fangs can't just come out on their own. Bob needs to be hungry. Or, at least, he needs to be near food. And Ray's pretty unexcitable. Considering Gerard's one step from flaming queen, Mikey has the constitution of your average Victorian lady with the vapors, and Frank gets excited about breathing. Ray pretty much wins by default. Give me your hand for a second. Normally, that would be enough mocking material for a month. Bob brings Ray's hand to his face until he can see the veins underneath, the delicate beat that Bob could find by touch alone, that he thinks of even in his sleep. And when Bob's fangs finally do descend, all hell breaks loose. Gerard gasps like a drowning man being pulled out of a river. Frank falls back over the couch, and Mikey actually jumps out of his chair. Ray yanks his hand back so fast, Bob has to stop himself from grabbing it out of reflex. Jesus Christ. A vampire, actually, Bob says slowly. carefully speaking around the fangs. It feels a little like yawning when they retract. Vampire, he says again, watching everyone's face go pale. In Gerard's case, almost ghostly, their eyes round. Vampire? Mikey repeats. You're a vampire. I thought it was going to be like cancer, Frank says thoughtfully, already crawling back onto the couch. Or you and Brian were getting married and adopting little Vietnamese children. Is being a vampire better or worse? Better, Gerard says. At the exact moment, Mikey groans, worse. Frank rolls his eyes. Ray still looks a little spooked. I wouldn't have bitten you, Bob says softly. It's not like he's hurt exactly, because he'd probably punch the face of a guy who suddenly grew fangs, but it's important Ray knows that everyone knows. Ray blinks. I know, he says. I mean, of course I know, just a little scary, Frank adds helpfully. Gerard flails. A little awesome? Bob ducks his head and smiles. Can you fly? Gerard asks. Are you super strong? Are you really fast? His eyes widen. Do you drink blood? Mikey's head snaps up exactly like when someone says coffee, wherever Gerard can hear. Blood? Wouldn't be a vampire if I didn't. Not really, Gerard says earnestly. Plenty of vampire folklore and different cultural versions have vampires who steal life force or energy or... Frank rolls his eyes. Mikey turns back to his sidekick. Bob calmly waits until Gerard runs out of breath and puts one hand over his mouth. Blood. Gee. Gerard licks Bob's hand. Bob smashes his palm into Gerard's cheek and Gerard grins. Have you been feeding off our groupies? Mikey's jaw drops. Have you been feeding off Brian? Sometimes, Bob admits. We get blood delivered, but it's not that night when you thought the blood never came. Ha! Frank jumps up from the couch. I knew you guys weren't really fucking. Bob shoves Frank back down, and all the remaining tension in the room drops. If Frank's fucking around and Bob's shoving in places, it can't be all bad. How'd it happen? Ray asks softly. Bob hesitates. The whole Bert and Gerard clusterfuck is still pretty fresh. On tour with the Used, somewhere in Europe, I'm not sure, really. I guess I was kind of out of it the first few days before one of the local guys called Jeffa came in. He called me Stugoji, but when he mentioned needing blood, it wasn't too hard to figure out what he meant. I vote we don't tour Europe anymore, Mike says loudly. How about that, guys? Frank nods vigorously over the back of the couch while Gerald just looks thoughtful. When Ray starts arguing for the virtues of European chicks over American ones, with Frank loudly disagreeing, Bob starts a mental countdown on how long it takes Gerard to ask Bob about turning him. Telling the guys doesn't cause the problems Bob was worried about. No one seems to give a second thought about invading his personal space or sneaking up on him or jumping on him. Sharing his food or his cigarettes, or sneaking into his bunk. It's the problems he didn't see coming that are driving him crazy. Like, for example, Frank and Gerard's sudden obsession with knowing everything about vampires. Ever. What about sunlight? Gerard asked perkily one morning, one coffee in hand, another on the table beside him. Not my favorite. It's too early for this shit, seriously. Non-lethal, as long as I don't let myself roast. I can get sun poisoning pretty easily. Stake to the heart? Frank asks. Yes. Beheading? Yes. Burnt alive? If it could kill one of you guys, it could kill me. Bob turns to look at Frank. So don't get any ideas. Frank holds his hands up in a who-me gesture. Bob is not fooled in the slightest. Crucifix. Have you noticed a problem with that? Garlic? I like Italian. Silver? What's my lip ring made out of? Gerard narrows his eyes before nodding. So obviously, no problem with running water or mirrors or anything like that either. No, Gerard. No. Can you drink animal blood? They have no band without a lead singer. Bob tries to remind himself of that. Doable, just not a great plan. Human blood is richest in hemoglobin. I have to drink 4 or 5 times as much animal blood just to get by. How much would you need? Animal blood? Maybe a pint a day? Gerard whistles. What's that? Like a small dog? Ray snorts. Frank giggles, and Bob slams his head down on the table. Gee, I have no fucking clue, okay? No one ever talks about this shit in Behind the Music. Gerard's eyes suddenly go wide. I am totally rewatching my Buffy DVDs, except maybe season 7, because it sucked, G. We know, Mikey says. It did, Gerard insists. It totally did, okay? And I don't care how much you like Faith. Frank jumps into the argument in defense of Faith, and Ray and Bob share a look of long suffering. When Mikey and Frank become engrossed in extolling Eliza Dushku's virtues, Gerard sidles over to Bob and throws one arm around his shoulders. Bob, I want Red Bull and gummy dinosaurs in the second half of season 3. Are you going to reenact the scene with the gummy dinosaurs? If you're lucky. Want to watch it with me? Bob shrugs Gerard off. I don't like to watch vampire movies. Is it because of the total inaccuracy? More like the part when they get staked a lot? Gerard gets a dreamy look on his face. I wonder if he'd really explode. Bob tried not to get offended. Gerard probably thought of weirder and more personal offensive things. Today, even. Things don't change. Sure, Frank can't stop giggling when blood ends up being the main concept for their photo spreads. Which happens fuck all more than Bob thinks should be normal. And when Bob and Ray hang out, Ray sometimes brings a pint of Oneg instead of a six-pack. Gerard also gives Bob Blade comics for his birthday, but that could have happened anyway. Mostly, they ignore it. They don't mention it, like they don't mention Bert and Gerard, and how Mikey's still not over the summer of like, or that Frank most definitely does not shriek like a girl when he sees a spider. Things move along and shit happens, but it's nothing they can't handle. When half the tour ends up getting food poisoning, Bob spends a day and a half puking his guts out and praying to God that nothing like this ever, ever happens to him again. Frank manages to miss out on getting sick entirely by virtue of being the band's token vegetarian, the little bastard. Brian says Gerard has it the worst, which Bob doesn't even want to imagine. His voice ends up completely shot, and Bob is kind of stupidly grateful for that, because that means a few days' rest for him. 2 days into the whole fiasco, Mikey and Bob are allowed to relocate to the hotel and die there instead. Gerard and Ray are still hooked up to IVs. Brian's watching over them, terrorizing the nursing staff and trying to reschedule their dates all at once. Frank spends about 2 hours with Mikey before Mikey threatens to stick a leash on him, and Frank scurries off to bother Bob. Bob is strangely grateful for the distraction. He considers checking back into the hospital. Frank bounces up and down next to him on the bed until Bob growls that he's feeling nauseous and knows exactly where to aim. Frank settles down, and they flip through all the late-night channels 3 times until they find the most promising infomercials. A tired-looking middle-aged woman is currently demonstrating the virtues of a vacuum pack for easy storage and economic convenience. She's vacuum-sealing pot roast, marbled pink, purple, and red, And that's when Bob realizes he's been a little off-kilter, but he never thought there might be another reason for it until now. I'm hungry. Frank pats Bob on the back. Dude, the doctors have you on like jello and broth for the next week. Not that kind of hungry. Bob rasps, and Frank's jaw drops in understanding, mouth forming a perfect O. When are you... Brian's sending a guy after the show in Columbus. Can you make it that long? Frank asks softly, hand moving slowly over Bob's shoulder. I mean, they're still talking about canceling it. Doubt it. Bob takes a deep breath. Where are we? Some bumfuck town in the middle of Pennsylvania. Are you... Can I... Frank sucks on his lip ring for a second. Do you know any place to go? There's usually someone at the hospital. Bob shakes his head. No way of knowing who, though. Coroner, guy who runs the blood bank, random nurse. So, right, Brian? Brian sets this shit up in advance, and he's got enough to worry about right now anyway. Brian's juggling 40 things and trying to pretend it's not running him ragged. Bob's not going to bother him unless he has to. They sit in silence for a long moment, Frank chewing on his lip ring and Bob tapping his fingers absently. We could go to the store, Bob says finally. Huh? Grocery store, he clarifies. Find a 24-hour one, get some steaks. You're not going to want to be here when I eat them, but they'll pull me through. Frank's eyes widen. Dude, no way I'm going to make you eat raw steak. Just Frank clears his throat and pulls a little on his collar. Just avoid the tattoo, all right? I don't want a scar on it. Frank, although that would be pretty hardcore. Frank, but wait, it doesn't even scar, right? I mean, Brian doesn't have any scars. Frank, Bob says again, using his best, you take one more flying leap from the top of that whatever, and I will cut you, voice. Frank, I'm not feeding off of you. Look, I know you normally don't go for stuff that's still in someone, but I think this is pretty much an emergency. I'm not going to let you starve. You don't want to bother Brian, who probably won't be able to do anything anyway, and I pretty much refuse to let you eat raw cow. Seriously, bite me, motherfucker, or so help me, I'll open up a vein right here. Bob twitches. Even though his first impulse is to yell for Brian and let him deal with an overly helpful Frankie, it's not his favorite impulse. It's probably not even his smartest one. He should have thought of this before. He needs to feed, and that's that. Okay, Bob says. Frank blinks. Okay? Yeah, okay, Bob repeats. You've defeated me with your strange Iro logic. Now, go get some juice and a candy bar or something from the vending machine. Fuck if I'm dragging you back to the hospital when you faint. Frank blinks at him one more time, before grinning, jumping off the bed, and rushing out of the room. Christ. Bob lies back on the bed and tries not to think of what he's about to do. Feels like a few seconds before Frank is back again, towing off his shoes and throwing everything onto the other bed, before he's hopping onto Bob's. Okay, so how does this work? Bob sits up a little, swallows. Your shirt. Frank stares at him. My shirt. Yeah, if you take it off, I can hear your heart. Feel it, and make sure I'm not taking too much. Oh, yeah, sure, jeez. For a second, I thought... Bob feels like his face is burning. No, God, I mean Frankie. I'm just saying there's an easier ways to get me in bed than faking a vampire emergency. Fuck you, Bob retorts. Come over here. I'm gonna suck you dry. Frank giggles. That's the dirtiest thing you ever said to me, Briar. I don't know. What about your mom? Fuck her. Frank lays down on the bed next to Bob's side. This good? Yeah, just... Bob slides a little closer, one hand under Frank's neck. Just feels like a pinch at first. He can feel Frank's heart pounding in his chest. The steadily increasing bump, bump, the bump, of his heart, and the very second his fangs extend. It makes him feel like a sick fuck sometimes. That getting this close brings out a reaction in him, but he can't help it, and he's hungry, and Frank just tastes so good that Bob is fanged deep in Frank's neck before either of them can blink. Jeffa asked him what it was like once, the drinking. Bob's not good with words on the best of days, but he said it was like coffee that's just the right temperature, or the perfect mix of lime and salt and shot, all the way down. Exactly what you've been craving, exactly the way you remember it. Hitting the spot every time, except Bob always wants more, even when he's not hungry, and he's never admitted that to anyone. Not Jeffa, not Brian, not anyone. And he certainly couldn't admit that to Frank. Not now, not with his mouth on Frank's neck, not with one hand delicately cradling Frank's jaw, and the other fingers digging into Frank's hip, his thumb pressed just above the waist of Frank's jeans. Not when all Bob wants to do is keep drinking, drinking until maybe he isn't hungry anymore, until Frank is gone, and the writhing beneath him. He's already hard. It's like someone threw a bucket of ice water on Bob's face. Frank's heart is beating fast, the too fast that leads quickly into too slow, and fuck. Bob pulls back immediately, fangs unlatching from Frank's neck with a slick, wet sound that's obscene in the quiet of the room, complemented only by the hum of the AC and Frank's ragged breathing. Frank's pupils are dilated, blown wide, like Bert after one of his better or worse trips. When he touches his neck, the tips of his fingers come back stained red, and Bob has to look away, run his tongue over his teeth. Is it always like that? Bob manages to swallow around his tongue. Sometimes. It's never been anything like that. Frank shudders a little. Whoa. No wonder Brian was okay with letting you suck on him all the time. And those are the other thoughts Bob really doesn't want to deal with right now. Sugar, he stammers. The juice. You look a little shaky. Right, yeah, let me... Frank lurches his way into a sitting position. Bob's not quite 100%, not yet. But at this point, he's doing better than Frank. He hands Frank his shirt and the bottle of juice. Thanks. No problem. Bob wipes the last bit of blood still on Frank's neck. Sorry. It's all right. When Frank turns around, Bob brings his hand up to his mouth and sucks, quiet and desperate. Tongue curling around his own fingers, his fangs start to descend again, and he has to bite down on his own hand. Not the time. Not at all. And that would be that, if Frank hadn't suddenly decided he wanted to drive Bob crazy. Bob's good at ignoring things. He's good at waiting them out, and he's good at letting them go. It makes him a pretty cool dude, good to have around in a crisis. He's steady, dependable, but all of Bob's stoicism and let it be-ness, well, if Bob can't actually let it be, at some point, he has to explode, and that's never pretty. Case in point being the infamous Drum Massacre 06. And why has Bob never realized before that all of his personal space issues begin and end with Frank? Frank won't leave him alone lately. He won't stop sitting with Bob, squeezing in next to him when he can, and sitting on Bob's lap when he can't. Sometimes he comes up behind Bob and bites him on the neck and runs away giggling like a little motherfucker. Whenever Bob is around, Frank has taken to stroking the pulse on the side of his neck. Bob's got no clue if any of this shit is subconscious or what, but fuck, Bob's had it. He's only a man. Even if a remarkably stoic man who drinks blood now and again, and Frank has pushed him to the edge. So the next time Frank comes up next to him, the next time Frank invades his personal space, Bob does the only logical thing, really. He bites him. Not even with his fangs, just his teeth. Just dull human teeth. Just enough to dig in a little. Not even breaking the skin. He does it to freak Frank out, mostly to get him to back the fuck off. Only Frank arches into it, snaps straight up like Bob hit his jugular, and moans. Well, fuck. Bob still has his teeth buried in Frank's neck. Just his teeth, but he's desperately aware that if he hadn't fed just a few days ago, this would be a lot messier. As it is, he's got to concentrate on letting go, on scraping over Frank's jaw, his cheekbone, on keeping a solid hold on Frank through the click of their teeth and the sharp tug of catching his lip ring the wrong way. Frank's thighs are stretched wide apart over Bob's hips. Tiny fucking Frank, man. Tiny fucking Frank who could pound Bob into the pavement if he ever got mad enough, whose blood is throbbing in his veins so hard and hot that Bob can feel it under his hands, and he wants to follow that pulse through Frank's body, find every beating artery, and taste the skin over them. In fact, yes, there's a plan. Bunk, he rasps. Bunk now. He thinks Frank agrees, from the way he's pulling on Bob's shirt, gurgling something that might be yes, but definitely isn't a no. Bob managed to mostly strip them before they get into the bunk, but just barely. Frank squirms under him, almost thrashing, and when Bob tries to yank Frank's shirt off, it gets tangled halfway. Bob gets distracted for a moment, Frank's arms trapped above his head. Please, Frank chokes out, betraying in its sincerity, in the sheer want of it. He growls like a trapped animal, and Bob presses his hand to Frank's stomach, fingers spanning the length of the tattoo there. Frank's stomach flutters like bird's wings under the touch, like something's trying to claw its way out. Bob can relate. This is Frank he's so desperate for. This is Frank, sleek and compact. Dark eyes and splotches of ink, one leg bent up around Bob's thighs. And Bob is aching with some need he doesn't have a name for, isn't sure he wants to know. Bob, man, come on. Frank whispers, baring his neck, pulse jumping wildly, and Bob only has enough time to think, fuck. Feels his mouth flood, and he pushes his face into the curve of Frank's neck, biting too hard, he knows. And the rush of blood to the surface, the copper salt on Bob's tongue, is too much. He comes a second after Frank, hot and slick, all over both of them, and when Frank gasps, Bob can feel the way the sound catches in his throat. Eventually, dimly, Bob hears the door slam open, and someone say, whoa, and then, fuck, before rushing back out again. Bob might not have been as careful pulling the curtains closed as he could have been. We may have traumatized Mikey. Frank giggles from beneath him, and Bob is not looking forward to that talk tomorrow. Bob cranes his neck to give Frank his most unamused look, which only makes Frank laugh harder. When Frank starts wiggling around, Bob can see from the light coming in through the space in the curtains that he's gnawed Frank's neck raw, and it's like a quick punch to the stomach. Jesus, Bob whispers. Everything was too quick before, for shame or embarrassment, or to even think about what the fuck he was doing. When he presses his mouth to the reddest mark, Frank just shivers closer, humming a little. It's sticky under his mouth, a little slick with spit, and Bob just keeps humming, something low and tuneless and quiet. It soothes something in Bob's chest, makes him take whatever he's grappling with and box it up for later. "Come here," Frank slurs, one hand tugging on the hem of Bob's shirt. And Bob goes. "Never in the lounge," Mikey announces the next morning. "And never in the kitchen, unless everyone is forewarned and things are sterilized." "Christ," Gerard mutters from the bunk below him. "Mikey, jeez. But other than that, I'm happy for you." Bob tries to put his head back under the pillow, but Frank is still mostly on top of it. "Thanks, now go away." It's still morning, and Bob wants some sleep before anyone, either him or Frank or any other member of the band or Christ, Brian, starts freaking out. Shit, it's probably going to be Brian. "Move over," Bob grumbles, and pokes Frank until he snuffles and flails and works his way into Bob's armpit. At least he's off the pillow now. Bob buries his head under it. Seriously, this shit is never on Behind the Music. Bob wakes up to Frank's elbow in his ribs, and Frank's head still somewhere in the vicinity of his armpit. Frank butts his head against Bob's shoulder. Sound checks in half an hour. Bob hums in agreement. He doesn't even know what state they're in right now, much less which city they're playing tonight.
"That's enough time,"
Frank trails off kind of suggestively, but halfway through a yawn, and Bob smirks a little. "Save it for the stage, Iroh. It's not my job to hump Gerard while I play." "Technically, it's not mine either." Frank yawns again. "It's an extracurricular." Bob snorts. "I'm gonna get coffee." "Four sugars," Frank says immediately. Bob pushes the pillow over Frank's face like he doesn't know how Frank likes his coffee, and like he's actually going to give Frank that much sugar. Everyone else is already in the lounge, probably to give them morning after space, but maybe because of Mikey screeching at ass o'clock this morning. Ray's already playing Guitar Hero, either totally oblivious to the fact that Bob has finally rolled out of the bunk, or that Bob and Frank even slept together, possibly both. Mikey is texting on his sidekick, utterly unconcerned. Gerard, unfortunately, is looking at Bob with one of those "I am being very serious and I mean business" faces that he pulls out of nowhere for special occasions. Bob has a sinking feeling he's about to be called Robert. "Robert," Gerard begins, and Bob rolls his eyes. "I know what I'm doing." The look only increases in intensity. If Gerard goes for Bob's middle name, Bob will not be held responsible for his actions, as much as anyone possibly could. Bob concedes the "it's Frank" goes unspoken. So does the "it won't mess up the band," the "I'm trusting you to tell us when we fuck up," and the "please, please tell Brian for us." Bob has perfected the art of not having to say anything to get his point across. Gerard looks at Bob for a long moment before nodding. "Okay," he says, and goes back to scribbling in his notebook. "Okay," Bob echoes, and starts rooting around for two. Clean, even cleanish. He knows he's a neat freak, but Christ, coffee cups. "Did Mikey tell us not to have sex in the lounge this morning, or did I dream that?" is the first thing Frank asks when he stumbles into the lounge. Bob carefully hands Frank one of the cups of coffee. Fucking spatial reasoning skills. He always pours too much. "No, definitely Mikey." Mikey's head appears briefly over the side of the couch. "No sex in the kitchen either." "No fun at all, Mikey way." Frank cautiously takes a sip, then, "Hey." "Three sugars," Bob says. "Don't say I never did anything for you." Frank beams and clambers up onto Bob's lap. Bob avoids flyaway knees and elbows with the air of long suffering, one hand on the dip of Frank's back, and pointedly ignores the look Gerard sends him. It's less very serious and more, "You big sap," which is kind of ridiculous considering Frank already spends most of his time climbing all over Bob. Frank slurps his coffee, the solid heat of him pressing back against Bob's chest. And Bob almost forgets to think about what Frank would taste like now. Caffeine sharp and sleep sour, pulse slow, steady, and warm. The end.